Ladies and gentlemen, Life with the Lions. You know, the view from the Lion's rooftop is really inspiring. I'm up here now. Across the road is Holland Park. To the east, I can see the mast of Crystal Palace. And to the west, I can see the familiar face of Big Ben as he walks up the road with a big smile on his face. It looks anyway as if he'd had good news. At least it started out that way.
Oh, hello, Skeeter, my boy. Hello, honey.
Hello, dear.
Oh, sorry I'm late. I got tied up with Jack Derrick. And you know Jack.
I do.
Well, you should. You talked to him for a half an hour at the club dance last Saturday.
Well, I can't place him.
Here, let me take your coat, Daddy.
Oh, thanks, sweetheart. Bebe, he's the man who's on the board of the Piccadilly Insurance Company.
Oh, hi, Pop.
Oh, hi, son. Remember you said he was such a graceful dancer?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he wants to take Richard on.
Well, that's nice of him. But I'd rather dance with girls.
Look, be serious for a minute. This might be a big chance for your son. How would you like to be an insurance agent?
No, thanks, Pop. It's not my cup of tea.
But think of the opportunities. If you work hard, you can get somewhere.
Well, I appreciate you trying to help me, but as I said, it's not my cup of tea.
You'd get a commission and £15 a week.
Pop, just don't stand there. Put the kettle on.
Ben, you mean that he's really got a job?
No, he'll have to write to the chairman first and ask for an interview.
Mrs. Lyon, I put the tea in the coffee table.
Oh, thanks, Aggie.
No, they're all poor.
All right, come on, boys.
Say, Pop, I've never had any experience as a salesman. Do you think that will matter?
Well, it would be better if you had.
Now, Richard, you have had experience. When you were 10 years old, you told me that you sold your cricket bat and stumps to Bertie Johnson for £3,000.
Why, Richard, you've been holding out on us. What did you do with the money?
Oh, he didn't pay me in cash. He gave me two hedgehogs worth $1,500 apiece.
Well, those are the kind of deals to make.
Yes, 6 months later when we traded back, I made a shilling on the deal.
Well, I thought it was an even trade.
Ma, that was devaluation. It was a bad year for hedgehogs.
You know, I think he's going to do all right.
You bet he is.
Oh, I'd like to write that letter now. Could I borrow your pen, Pop?
Oh, sure, sure. Here you are. Now, what are you going to write?
Well, how about, dear sir, to serve as an introduction, I am the son of Mr. Ben Lyon and Miss B.B. Daniels.
Oh, wait a minute, son. I think you'd better say your mother and I were married.
Oh. Sure.
Richard, why don't you start the next paragraph with something like, it has come to my attention that you have a vacancy in your head office, and I'm most anxious to fill the post.
Yes. And
then I'd say, as to my qualifications, I have an IQ of...
Shall I put down average intelligence?
Yes, we'll have to lie a little.
Ben, you mustn't teach your son to lie that way.
Why, Ma? Do you know a better way?
I'm ashamed of you.
Oh, we're only kidding.
Richard, you've got to put a parenthesis after that word.
How do you spell it?
Oh, you don't spell it. You make it.
Make it?
Yes, darling. Just take two ones and bend them.
Oh, yes.
Now, let's see what you've written so far.
Here you are, Ma.
All right. Dear sir, I am the son of Mr. Ben Lyon and Miss B.B. Daniels, who I better say were married. It has come to my attention that you have a vacancy in your head. And I'd like to fill it in.
Fine.
Oh, gosh, everybody was talking at once. Now, listen, I made this up myself. I would consider it an honor to be a representative of your company, so I hope you will give me a few minutes of your time. With best wishes and my new slogan, I assure you, I'll insure you, Mr. R.D. Lyon, Esquire of this parish. What do you think, Pop?
Well, I think you should leave out just one little paragraph.
Which one?
The one that says you're my son.
Oh, I think it was wonderful, dear.
Yes. Maybe if we stopped throwing in ideas, he could get someplace.
All right. We'll let you write it all on your own, son.
Well, thanks, Pop. I really appreciate that.
I wonder wonder what's keeping Richard so long.
Mother, when you go to an insurance company for an interview, it takes time.
Oh, but he's been gone 3 hours.
Well, they probably have dozens of other young men applying for the same job.
Oh, I hope he gets it. He studied so hard for his examination.
Now, Mother, stop worrying.
I'm frightened stiff. In fact, I haven't been as nervous as this since the day I was waiting for you to be born.
Then Aunt Robertine was really telling the truth when she said they almost lost you.
It wasn't funny. I paced up and down for hours. Then finally the nurse came in carrying you in her arms and said, "Come and meet your daughter." And when I bent over you, you opened your little mouth and gurgled...
Oh, hi, Pop. Sorry I'm late.
What happened to you?
I got the job.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, sir. You are now looking at a qualified agent of the Piccadilly Insurance Company.
Well, well, we finally got a working man in the family.
What do you think I am, a goat?
Now, Pop, don't butt in.
Darling, you must be very hungry.
Oh, no, I'm not, Ma. I had lunch in our office canteen.
Oh, good. I'll bet you needed it after that difficult interview.
On the contrary, it was a piece of cake.
Well, I don't call that much of a lunch.
Baby, he means the interview was easy for him.
Oh,
Pop, when you've got a little time, I'd like to go over your insurance policies with you.
Oh, you would, eh?
Yes, I want to see that everything's in order. I need clients.
Well, you've got one.
And I'm increasing the fire insurance on my house. And you've got it, Richard.
Gee, thanks.
Richard, what do you think would be nice for me?
Well, now, let's see. Have you got any jewelry insurance?
No. That's it.
And what can I do for my dear little Pop?
Well, let me coast a while, son, and when the next renewal comes up, it's yours.
But you're not carrying nearly enough insurance.
Oh, yes, I am.
Well, no, you're not. You're only insured for life.
Well, I don't think I'll need it any longer than that.
I mean, you haven't got an annuity or an accident and health policy.
All right, I'll think about it.
Well, don't think too long. The sooner you take out a policy, the bigger the annuity will be.
What do you mean?
Well, for instance, if Pop pays a premium of £100 a year for the next 30 years, he'll receive an annuity at the age of, No, he's past that already.
Oh, Master Richard, I've just heard your great news. Congratulations.
Well, thanks, Aggie. Say, who told you about my job?
Well, the doors in this house are very thin.
Well, of course. Say, Pop, you ought to carry insurance on Aggie.
What are you talking about?
An accident policy. Do you realize more accidents happen in the home than anywhere else?
What sort of accidents, Master Richard?
Well, you could get splashed with hot fat or open the food cupboard and have something fall on your head, but if you're covered by us, you receive compensation.
Oh, that's very interesting. How much would they pay me if I bumped my head?
Well, I imagine they'd pay you a lump sum.
It sounds like a wonderful policy. Tell us some more about it.
Well, suppose Pop was ill. Our company guarantees to pay half the medical bills.
Ben, that's wonderful. You better take 2 policies, then they'll pay all the bills.
I don't think it would work, Mother.
No, go on, son.
Well, this policy covers you for every conceivable known accident. That is, of course, provided it happens inside your house.
Well, that's a very comforting thought. I mean, you never know when you're going to get knocked down by a number 67 bus in your own living room.
Isn't he silly?
He certainly is. The number 67 bus goes to Notting Hill Gate.
Now, look, there are lots of ways of having accidents indoors. You can slip on a rug and twist your ankle or eat something that could make you ill.
Master Richard, are you suggesting that my cooking would make your father ill?
Oh, of course not. But suppose you decided to get married and leave us.
Then I'll do the cooking.
Richard, I'll take that policy.
Thanks, Pop. Oh, I suppose you've got guest insurance.
Look, son, I want you to be a success, but there are other clients outside of your own family.
I know, and I'm going in the den and make out a list of everyone we know. I didn't know you were home.
Yes, I come home sometimes.
No kidding. Oh, say, I've got both yours and Mom's policies in my briefcase.
Oh, good boy.
Oh, hello, darling. How's everything going at the office?
Oh, fine.
Mother, do you know what that sneaky brother of mine did this afternoon?
Oh, for Pete's sake.
He came over to my office and brought these flowers for my editor's wife.
Well, I think that's very sweet.
Then he sold him a health and accident insurance policy, my own brother. Why, I was so embarrassed, I thought I was going to die. Just die.
Then now's the time to get insurance.
Mother, what do you think?
I think I'm going to the kitchen.
Daddy, he worked on my poor editor until he thought he had every illness in the medical book. Then he made him memorize all the names in the obituary column.
You did what?
Well, if he's going on a journey, he may as well know who his fellow passengers are going to be.
Richard, that wasn't funny at all.
Oh, Ben, I just said Colonel Price would be here in a few minutes.
Yes, he's picking me up on the way to the club. We're playing golf today.
Oh, do you think he'd like some coffee?
Yes, thanks, honey.
I'll make it for him, Daddy.
Oh, that'll be Colonel Price now.
Well, I'll make him some toast, too.
This is what I call service. Customers delivered to the door.
Richard, if you try to sell him anything, you're going to have trouble with me.
Well, okay, Pop, but I hope you realize you're slowing down my promotion.
Coming.
Oh, hello, Lion. Am I late?
No, right on the button. Come on in, Colonel. You want a cup of coffee?
No, thanks. We better get started.
Oh, I'll get my jacket.
Hello, Colonel Price.
Oh, hello, Richard. I hear you're in the insurance business now. What sort of policies are you selling?
Right now, I'm selling golf insurance to big businessmen. I think you're all very smart to take the precaution.
I haven't got one.
Oh, you're joking, of course.
Oh, I haven't got one either. Well, come on, Colonel. We'll be late.
No, wait a minute. Richard, why are all these men taking out this policy?
Well, if you hit another golfer, he can sue you.
We don't hit the ball that far.
Well, you could hit someone with a club, and if you drive into a beehive, that can cost you a fortune.
I've never had a bee sue me yet.
No, but if they sting somebody else, you're indirectly responsible. And you can fall into a bunker, break your leg, get killed, or break a golf club.
Come on, Colonel.
Richard, how much are these policies?
Full coverage is only £7. And you can collect £1,000.
Is that so?
Colonel Price, you may have my assurance for that.
Yes, I'll have a policy.
Well, thank you, sir. It'll be in the mail tonight.
Good.
Here are golf clubs, Pop.
Oh, thanks, son. Well, shall we get going now?
Yes, no, Lon, I envy you these golf clubs. I must get some like them.
Well, here's the coffee. Richard? Where's your father?
He's gone to play golf with a new client of mine.
Richard.
Yes, Ma?
When your father gets home from the golf course, tell him I've gone shopping with Barbara.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute. You're wearing your gold brooch.
I've always worn it.
Yes, but that was before I insured it. Now, give it here and I'll lock it up.
No, it matches the earrings I'm wearing.
All right, we'll compromise. Those earrings aren't insured and the brooch is, right?
Right.
So when you go shopping, just wear the earrings.
Darling, I'd be arrested.
If you lose that brooch, it'll spoil my record.
Oh, all right. Here you are.
Thanks, dear. I'll lock it up. I don't like to do this, but I have to protect my company against loss.
I wish someone would protect us against you.
Hello, dear. All ready to go shopping?
Yes, fine.
Barbara, I'd like to see you.
Well, take a good look.
No, don't be difficult. I want to talk to you about the fire insurance. Our surveyor was at your house yesterday, and he said you have a strut he's not happy about.
It's none of his business the way she walks.
He means a strut in the roof, and he'd like you to buy a new fuse box.
Very good, sir. May we go shopping now?
Oh, sure.
Hello, Skeeter, my little boy.
Your father sounds happy. He must have had a good game of golf.
Oh, hello, my girl.
Hello, darling.
Well, I had the most fantastic luck today. I made a hole-in-one.
A hole-in-one what?
Skip it, honey.
All right. You can tell me when I get back.
Yes, come on, Mother. Bye, boys. So long, dear. See you later.
So long, girls. Richard, I wish you could have seen me.
What you
play today?
Pop, that was a sneeze.
No kidding. I've always wondered what they call those things.
I mean, it sounds like you're getting a cold. You better go to bed.
Oh, don't be silly.
But it might lead into something serious.
This is what I get for taking out that health and accident policy with you.
Well, that's a fine thing to say.
I thought you'd both like a nice cup of tea.
Oh, thanks, Aggie.
I think a glass of hot lemon juice would do him more good.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, I tell you, I haven't got a...
You see, it's getting worse. If you don't watch out, you can catch pneumonia. A common cold is a very dangerous thing.
Oh, Master Richard, your father's probably got a wee cold in the head. That kind doesn't last long.
It doesn't?
No, last week your mother had a cold in the head, but it soon went away.
Well, naturally, germs can't live in a vacuum.
Pop, don't joke.
No, even a wee cold can get worse. You know, your father does look a little off color.
Yes, and he's sitting in a draft. You look like you're a little pale.
I don't care if I look like a little bucket.
Oh,
Now, stop fussing over me, both of you.
Very well, but if you need any aspirins, let me know.
I've never heard anything so ridiculous in all my life.
Pop, I'm only thinking of your of you. Here, let me put my jacket over your legs.
I was a chump to fall for that policy.
They're in the living room, Mrs. Wainwright.
Oh, thank you, Aggie.
Hello, Richard. Oh, who's the old gentleman with the coat over his legs?
Richard, take your coat off me.
Okay, but don't blame me for what happens to you.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear you have a cold, Ben.
Oh, you could hardly call it that. But my dear son's convinced himself it'll turn into pneumonia.
Well, it could. I think we should get the doctor.
No.
Well, I'm sure that isn't necessary.
Well, maybe you're forgetting what happened to Mr. Hammond in the next street. He had a cold and didn't take care of it. And a week later, I felt so sorry for his widow.
I'll get the doctor.
Glory, I wonder if you'd mind closing the door. And from outside.
Now, don't wave your fat little fingers at me. And furthermore, I didn't come over here to see you. I came to see Richard.
About what, Aunt Florrie?
Well, the insurance policy you sold me arrived from your company this morning.
Anything wrong with it?
Oh, no, dear. It's perfect. And I think the premiums are very reasonable.
They sure are. And in 10 years' time, you'll get a big fat annuity.
She's already got one.
Now, Pop, please. We're talking business. Now, where were we, Aunt Florrie?
We were discussing my annuity. And I can't tell you what a feeling of security it gives me. You know, I've always been worried about the future. But now, I know I have something substantial to fall back on.
If you fall back on that, you'll bounce right up again.
Oh, why don't you file that point off your head?
And why don't you both stop ribbing each other?
Oh, all right. But I may come and see you again tomorrow, Richard. I'm thinking of insuring my house against burglars.
That's a very wise thing to do.
I know, but I have to make an inventory first. You see, I want to make sure that everything I have is well covered.
Well, take my word for it.
Oh, go and take a bubble bath. Goodbye, Richard, dear. And I suggest you start insuring your father's jokes against old age.
Good morning, Daddy.
Good morning. Now, look, has anyone seen my golf clubs? I can't find them.
Ben, that's the 10th time you've asked us.
I'll look for them later, Mr. Lyon.
I want those clubs now. I'm playing a foursome with Colonel Price and I'm late. Richard, have you seen them?
They're not around here.
Ben, did you look in the hall cupboard?
Yes, 5 times.
Under the sofa?
Yes.
Well, then, why don't you relax?
You know, I have a very strong suspicion they were hidden to stop me from going out of the house.
Now, who would sink low enough to do a mean thing like that?
I'm not going to mention any names, Richard, but unless those clubs are found immediately, I'll cancel every policy I've taken out with a certain insurance company.
I'm very good at finding things, Papa. I'll have a look for you. I found them. They were under a bush in the garden. I wonder how they got there, Pop.
Well, I'm too old to believe they were born there. Now, will you give up trying to prevent me from leaving the house?
Okay, I was only doing it for your own good.
And your job.
Oh, gosh, I'm still new with the company. And if you get ill and make a lot of claims, it'll be bad for me.
Richard, if you're so worried about claims, why aren't you out in the golf links protecting Colonel Price?
How?
Well, if a stray ball should be heading his way, you could jump in front of it and soften the blow with your head.
Look, Pop, it was your idea that I become an insurance agent, and I'm trying to make good. Is that such a crime?
Oh, I'm sorry, son, and don't worry, I'll be careful. If I see a bee, I'll run a mile.
You always do.
Richard, would you please call up the golf club?
Okay, Pop.
And when you get the colonel on the phone, tell him I'll be there just as soon as I can.
Sure, Pop.
Now, I'm going up and get my hat.
Hello? Eagle Nest Golf Club?
Hello, is Colonel Price there?
Did you say Price?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I'm afraid I have some bad news for you.
What do you mean?
When he got to the first tee, he slipped and broke his arm.
Broke his arm? Oh, no!
for heaven's sake, stop pacing up and down like a caged lion.
Well, that's what I feel like. If Colonel Price had to break his arm, why didn't he do it before I insured him?
Now, Master Richard, stop worrying.
Stop worrying, she says. Do you realize that accident could cost our company £1,000?
Darling, would you like some cold lemonade?
No, Ma, please.
Well, I'll pour you some anyway.
Look, son, I'm sure this isn't the first broken arm your company's had to pay for.
Well, no, but I...
Have you any idea what the statistics are?
Well, yes. Last year, our company paid over £30,000 for broken arms.
Oh, that's amazing. What do they do with them all?
They use them to make little octopuses.
Oh, honestly, Dan. That's so silly. Lemonade, Barbara?
Oh, thanks, Mother. Richard, when you talked to the golf club on the phone, did they say how the accident happened?
No, the man didn't give me any details. He just said he broke his arm when he slipped on the tee.
Well, what a silly place to leave a cup.
Aggie, in golf, a tee is a small patch of ground. That's where the golfer drives off.
Fancy.
And there's another tee, too. Sometimes it's a little wooden peg, and sometimes the golfers make their tee with sand.
Listen, Barbara, there's no need to pull my leg because I know nothing about golf.
Neither do I. I wouldn't even know which caddy to hit the ball with.
Isn't that awful, Richard? Richard.
Sorry, Papa, I wasn't listening. I was thinking about my company. I wonder what they'll do when Colonel Price puts in his claim.
Now, darling, stop worrying. They'll just take it as a matter of course and say nothing about it.
Now, don't give him false hopes. How do you know how it's going to turn out?
My instinct as a mother tells me.
Instinct? Now, let's not be ridiculous.
You may think it's ridiculous, but believe me, if you were a mother, you'd be surprised.
If I were a mother, I'd be amazed.
You know, Richard, maybe Mother's right at that. After all, an insurance company has to expect a loss once in a while.
I've only been with them 2 weeks, and I've lost them £1,000. They're sure to fire me.
Master Richard, maybe if you explained the situation to Colonel Price, he might not put in a claim.
That's right. After all, he's a very wealthy man. He can afford to pay for his own accident.
Sure he can.
Look, you may as well stop kidding yourselves. The Colonel's a businessman. He signed a contract for a policy, and he'll collect. And why shouldn't he?
I expect you're right. When you come to think of it, who wants to lose £1,000?
I don't.
Glory, you could lose £1,000 off your hips alone.
Ben, I've decided to ignore you and just speak to human beings. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Glory. Come on, dear, and sit down.
Oh, all right. But you know, I can only stay a minute. Richard, here's the inventory of my house I promised to bring over.
Well, thanks, Aunt Glory, but I might not get it through when they hear about the accident.
What accident? Did someone get hurt?
Well, Colonel Price had the accident, and Richard got hurt.
Yes. When his claim comes in, I go out.
Well, I'm a very good friend of the Colonel's. Perhaps I could help.
Well, how, Aunt Flory?
By using my charm on the dear boy.
That's really funny.
Is that so? I'll have you know, I've got away with men.
I've never seen you get away with any.
Oh, go and inflate your shoulder pads.
Glory, I think you're terribly sweet to help us.
Well, of course, I can't guarantee it'll do the trick.
Well, anything's worth trying.
Aye, but the Colonel's rather severe. Maybe Mrs. Wainwright could soften him up a little. You know, flatter him.
Well, if it would help, I'd even sit on his lap.
Aggie said flatter him, not flatten him.
Ben, why don't you stop trying to see how funny you can be and help Richard?
What for? You'd only blame me for making a stupid suggestion.
And if you've got a stupid suggestion to make, well, go ahead and make it.
Thank you. Well, from past experience, I'd say the best way to soften the Colonel up is to make him grateful to you.
Well, how do I do that?
Send him some flowers.
No, if I send him flowers, he'll think he's dying.
Anyway, it has to be something that shows you put a lot of thought into it. Hey, wait a minute, I know. I heard him talk about it. He wants a set of golf clubs like mine.
You mean I can give him yours?
Of course not. But you can buy him a set just like mine.
That's a fine present for a man with a broken arm.
Richard, believe me, that's exactly what he wants.
But a set of clubs like yours would cost me about £75.
And that's exactly £925 less than your company would have to pay him.
Okay, I'll go out and get them. And maybe I can find a sale.
Barbara, I think we better get them.
Richard, I can't understand it. Colonel Price's phone is still busy.
It can't be busy for 2 hours.
All right, listen.
Yeah, it's busy, all right.
Cigarette, son?
No, thanks.
We saw the sweetest collection of hats.
Never mind the hats. You should have been here an hour ago.
Why, what happened?
That's what we want to ask you. Did you get the golf clubs?
Yes. We sent them over to the colonel's house an hour ago.
Oh, then I'd better ring him up again.
You mean you've already talked to him?
No. His line's been busy ever since you left.
Oh. Daddy, are you sure it isn't out of order?
I'm positive. I rang the operator and she told me the colonel's engaged.
Well, she has no right to spread such gossip about a man with 3 children.
Well, I'll tell her that.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Is Colonel Price there?
No, he's not home. This is the lady what obliges speaking.
Well. She must run a hot dog stand or something. Well, is Mrs. Price there?
No, she ain't home either.
Well, could you tell me where I could reach them?
Well, ain't you the nosy one?
Now, look, my name's Ben Lyon, and I'm a friend of theirs. Now, could you please tell me where they are?
All right, keep your ear on, ducks. Mrs. Price went over with the colonel to the hospital. Ta-ta.
Oh, no!
Pop, what's wrong?
He's gone to the hospital.
Oh, that's awful. Then the accident must have been more serious than we thought.
Oh, I think I'll kill myself. If I don't, my insurance company will do it for me.
Oh, now stop that. Come in.
Oh, hello there. What a charming family group.
Colonel Price.
Richard, my boy, I came over to thank you for the magnificent golf club.
Colonel, you're moving both arms.
Well, what do you expect me to do with them?
Where's your sling?
Are you all mad? What are you talking about?
You, Colonel. Didn't you just come from the hospital?
Well, naturally. I went over to see that idiotic nephew of mine. Silly chump broke his arm on the golf course.
Your nephew?
Your nephew broke his arm? What a shame.
Well, you don't sound very sorry.
Oh, Mother was laughing because she thought it was you.
What?
Yes, we're terribly sorry to hear it.
Oh, don't worry. The young devil's had it coming to him. Richard, I told him to take out a golfing insurance policy with you.
Well, believe me, I won't hold it against him.
Good. Now, my boy, let's get down to business.
Business?
Oh, yes, indeed. You're a fellow with intelligence and foresight, and I intend to turn over all my company's insurance to you.
That's
wonderful.
It's about £30,000 a year.
Oh, thank you, Colonel Price. Now, if you'll excuse me, sir, I'll just go telephone my office about the great news.
Richard, look out for that chair. He ran smack into it.
Oh, Richard, are you all right?
Oh, it feels like I've broken my arm.
Oh, my poor baby. That's terrible.
It's worse than you think.
What do you mean, son?
I forgot to insure myself.
Phoebe Daniels and Ben Lyon with their daughter Barbara and their son Richard. Also in this recording were Doris Rogers, Molly Weir, John Casaubon, and Hugh Morton. The incidental music was by Paul Fennelly, who also conducted the BBC Variety Orchestra. Bob Locke, Brad Ashton, and Phoebe Daniels wrote the script, and the production was by Tom Ronald.